be there, working out his frustrations, preferably shirtless, sweat dripping down his chest and abs. I had to shake off the image. There was every possible piece of exercise equipment known to man in the abundant space. Mirrors lined all the walls, expanding from the floor to the ceiling. The space was lined with dark, hardwood floors, and some exercise mats throughout it. An expensive stereo system had been set up in the corner of the room, with speakers spread evenly in the space. It also housed a sauna and private restroom, equipped with showers and everything under the sun. I don't know what came over me, but I just started dancing, the music playing in my head. I spent the entire day in that room, getting lost in the movements and rhythm that were deeply embedded in my soul. By the end of the day, I was exhausted, pushing my body more than I should have after so many weeks of not dancing. I took a shower, letting the hot water soak my sore limbs. Shortly after that, I headed straight to bed. I was out before my head even hit the pillow, dreaming of him like I did every night for the last 3 months. For the first time, I was eager to wake up the next day, knowing I could dance. My eyes fluttered open, taking in the bright light shining through the curtains, stretching my sore limbs, my body physically spent from the day before. I sat up and looked at the clock beside my bed. It was already 11 in the morning. I had slept in late for the first time since I could remember. Throwing on a tank top with some cotton shorts, I tossed my hair up in a high bun on the top of my head and brushed my teeth, going about my normal morning routine. His maid, Maria, was nice enough to make me food whenever I was hungry. She would stick around and keep me company as I ate every morning, sometimes during lunch and dinner, too. If it wasn't for her, I would have no one to talk to, except maybe to myself. Excitement couldn't begin to describe what I felt as I made my way toward his gym after I finished my breakfast. I rounded the corner in the long, narrow hallway, seconds away from walking into what recently became my heaven, smiling from ear to ear as I opened the large, wood door to the gym. Nothing could have prepared me for what laid in front of me. All of his gym equipment had vanished, as if it was never there to begin with. Not one piece of gear was left in the wide-open space, all of it replaced with every piece of ballet equipment I could ever need, and then some. It had been turned into my own personal ballet studio. Just for me. I sucked in a breath, placing my hand over my heart as I walked around the room with nothing but astonishment and wonder. Tears threatened my eyes as they took in every last detail of the special place he'd made for me. A beautiful black leather sofa sat against the center of the back wall, accented with comfortable gray pillows. A ballet bar extended the full length of the mirrored walls, parallel to the couch, a square wood box of rosin placed beside it. I softly ran my fingers along the bar, gripping onto it for support. This was all just so damn overwhelming. The massive black armoire in the back corner caught my attention next. I practically leaped over to it, excited to see what it held. I opened each drawer, one by one, taking in all the contents. Different kinds of leotards, bright, neutral, patterned colors, showcased in one drawer. Several pairs of ballet tights lined the second one. Skirts in all different styles, colors, and patterns took over the next, topping it all off with an endless supply of sports bras in the bottom drawer. The choices were endless. My pointe shoes and ballet flats were laid out on the dark hardwood floor, and sitting right next to them was a black dance bag full of brand new pairs of both. I wiped away the tears that started streaming down my cheeks. I was in this room less than 24 hours ago. I couldn't believe the transformation from the masculine gym to this beautiful, feminine space. The surprises were never ending. I walked over to the sound system, finding an abundant amount of ballet CDs, everything from Mozart to Gershwin, including the soundtrack to Swan Lake. My feet moved of their own accord, ripping off price tags from the designer apparel, ignoring how much they cost. Standing behind the portable room divider in the corner, I changed into the most beautiful, elegant, soft attire I'd ever worn. Grabbing my tattered, worn-in pointe shoes and lacing them up my ankles, I went right to work, not wasting another minute, dancing around the room like I never had before, thriving in the emotions of finally feeling like I was home. Every turn, every step, every pose was an extension of the only happiness I'd ever known. I danced until I couldn't dance anymore. It was late into the night by the time I was so exhausted I couldn't push through any longer. Sweat glistened over every inch of me, and I could barely stand on my own 2 feet. But it didn't matter, because I knew when I woke up the next morning, I could do it again. That alone gave me some peace of mind. I slipped off my pointe shoes, taking in the damage I had inflicted upon my poor toes, welcoming the pain and blisters, placing the shoes exactly where I found them. I stretched my limbs on the bar one last time, loving the way my sore muscles ached from a job well done. I took one last look at the room before turning off the lights and closing the door behind me, leaning my back against the solid mahogany surface, smiling, thinking about Martinez and what he had done to his space, how much I appreciated him at that moment for absolutely everything he had done for me in the last few months. Behind his dark, cold demeanor, I could tell the man had a heart, even though he would deny it. I got the sudden urge to talk to him, hug him, and tell him thank you a million times over. I pushed off the door, walking back to my bedroom, when I heard the front door slam shut, rattling, echoing down the expansive hall. I didn't give it a second thought. I dashed through the penthouse to see if he was home. I felt him before I saw him, his masculine scent lingering all around me. "Hey," I rasped, out of breath as soon as I got to him, hunching over, placing my hands on my knees for support, my body shaking from the excitement that he was there, in front of me. We could finally talk. I could express how much the room transformation meant to me, how much he meant to me. He stopped dead in his tracks, surprised by my behavior, instantly eyeing me cautiously, not saying a word. Something about the way he was looking at me revealed pain in his usual dark, cold, soulless eyes. I had never seen him appear so internally conflicted, nor did I understand why. He was fighting some sort of internal battle when it came to me, avoiding me at all costs, not wanting to admit I had an effect on him, too. He stood there with his hands in his slacks, just staring with no expression. I wanted to stay lost in his eyes at that moment, savoring the way he was looking at me, the way he pulled every sentiment from my body as if it belonged to him, especially the way I was making him feel. I never wanted it to end. It was as if we were the only two people in the world. "Alejandro," I coaxed, still out of breath, overwhelmed by my emotions. "I can't believe..."
"Don't,"
he interrupted in a frayed tone. I stood upright, stepping toward him. "I just want..." He put his hand out, gesturing for me to stop.
"Don't,"
he repeated in a stern voice, forcefully accentuating the word. I reached out, placing my shaking hand on his chest, and he let me. "All I want is..." He shoved away, causing me to stumble back, catching myself before I fell, as he brushed past, walking away from me, not allowing me to finish what I so desperately wanted to say to him. I grimaced, hurt. "What the hell?" I whispered to myself, wavering for a few minutes as I watched him stride toward his office, like he did every time he came home. Dismissing me, again. I took a deep, calming breath before following after him. The man was like Jekyll and Hyde, doing something so meaningful and loving for me, then shoving me away, when all I wanted to do was thank him. His office door slammed shut before I could catch up to him. I stood in front of the wooden space for a few seconds, flexing my fists at my sides, fuming. He needed to step down off his damn high horse and treat me with some respect. I knew in the back of my mind this wasn't going to end well, but I didn't give a shit. Nothing was going to stop me from barging into his office, a replay of a failed attempt all those years ago. I swung open the door, smacking it into the wall with a loud thud. He was sitting in his chair, his elbow placed on the desk with his head resting in between his strong hands. He didn't even startle, as if he was expecting me to trail in after him. He peered up with a menacing glare, I knew stepping foot in his office without being told to enter would piss him off even more. I was treading over the imaginary line of his boundaries, and I didn't care. Not for 1 second. "What is your fucking problem?" I hissed, frustrated he was being this way with me, yet again. He was ruining everything he had done for me that day, which pissed me off more than anything. "You're giving me the worst case of whiplash known to man, Martinez."
"Lexi, don't,"
he growled in a cold and detached tone. "Don't what, huh? Don't talk to you? Don't look at you? Don't touch you? What can't I fucking do now? All you do is bark orders at me. I'm sick of it. I'm not your dog. I just wanted to think." His chair slid back as his fists connected with his desk beneath him.
"Don't fuck with me. I'm not in the mood for your bullshit. This is your last warning, sweetheart. Get off my cock. Don't fucking provoke me. Mind your own damn business. Turn around and go put on one of your tutus I bought you and twirl your ass out of my fucking office. Now!"
he roared, the veins in his neck protruding. I jerked back like he had hit me.
"You're a fucking asshole!"
I screamed, grabbing the door behind me and slamming it, locking myself in his personal space, letting him know I wasn't going anywhere. "You leave me here by myself, all fucking day, for days at a time with no one to talk to except your damn maid. Yet, here I am, trusting you, thinking about you, and wanting you to fucking acknowledge the connection we have. I know you feel it too. Try to deny it all you want, but you wouldn't have ever done what you did for me today if you didn't care." He just sat there, with his body hunched over his desk, anger rolling off his back as his chest heaved. I roughly ran my hands through my hair, trying to compose myself, but it was no fucking use. I was too pissed, too hurt, too over all the bullshit he kept putting me through. "I just wanted to say thank you. What you did for me today, that room, my own space." I fervently shook my head, my emotions getting the best of me. I could feel them taking over. I shoved them all away, not wanting him to see me cry. "No one has ever done anything like that for me before. No one has ever cared. Today was one of the best days of my life, and you're shitting all over it. You're fucking ruining it, you bastard. You're hot, you're cold. I can't keep up anymore. I want to leave, but then again I don't, because I'm scared that I'll never see you again. I hate that, relying on you. Do you understand how hard that is for me?" I yelled through my emotions, stomping my foot on the ground, needing to get my point across, needing him to understand. He didn't move. He didn't say one word. He didn't even blink. Nothing. That was all I needed to lose my shit. "Oh my God!" I was over to his desk in 3 strides, shoving off everything with as much force as I could muster up. The piles of paperwork, documents, and folders were thrown to the floor in an instant, leaving nothing in my wake, knowing he spent hours upon hours organizing and dealing with whatever the fuck was important to him. He never once wavered, glaring at me as if I was nothing but a piece of shit standing in front of him. "What is it going to take, huh? To get some sort of reaction out of you?" Slamming my fists down on the desk, gritting through the pain it caused. "What do I have to do for you to show me the man behind the expensive goddamn suits?" He stood ferociously, taking the desk with him, flipping it over, causing me to jump back before it landed on me. His chair slammed into the bookshelves behind him, rattling the columns, sending some books crashing to the floor. Chaos erupted all around me. I turned to run, to get the hell away from him, but it was too late. He was already ahead of me, getting in my face and invading my personal space. Before I knew what was happening, as my back connected with the adjacent wall, near his flipped-over desk, the force of my own momentum knocked the wind out of me. My eyes widened as I gasped for air that wasn't available for the taking, stunned by the drastic turn of events, with his dominant, demanding, arrogant presence looming over me like I was nothing but a scared little kitten. I never expected what happened next. Not one damn thing.
"Martinez, didn't I tell you not to fuck with me?" I seethed, inches away from her mouth.
I...
Lexi sputtered, her demeanor quickly changing from a lioness to a scared mouse.
"Didn't I warn you I wasn't in the mood for your fucking bullshit tonight?"
"I'm sorry..."
"Didn't I tell you? Not to fucking provoke me. You mess with the devil, sweetheart. You get the fucking horns.
I hated that she was fucking apologizing to me. I hated that she never listened to a goddamn word that came out of my mouth. But most of all, I hated that I didn't give a flying fuck I was scaring the shit out of her. I would never physically hurt her, but she didn't have to fucking know that. Maybe next time, she would fucking listen to me. She shook her head back and forth with her lip quivering, making my cock twitch at the sight of her. Images of me grabbing her by her sinful hips and fucking her up against the wall skated through my mind. I stepped back before I did something I was going to fucking regret. I'd spent most of the previous night watching her on the security camera I'd installed in the gym. I couldn't take my eyes off the recording, following the way she flawlessly moved for hours across the hardwood floor with nothing but the music in her head. The smile on her face alone was enough for me to make the call to have the equipment cleared out, replacing it with everything she would need for her own studio. A ballet studio in my fucking penthouse. I shook away the images, the effect she had on me, the cord I couldn't fucking cut for the life of me. Unhooking my cufflinks, I rolled up the sleeves of my collared shirt, unbuckling my belt next, pulling it out of the loops of my slacks with a snap.
You want to meet the man behind the expensive fucking suits?
I mocked in a threatening tone, tilting my head to the side.
What are you?
Not allowing her to finish her goddamn question, I raised my hand and swung the belt down on the corner of the desk, right by her leg. She gasped as it hissed through the air. Her eyes widened with fear, instantly cowering back and away from me. I just wanted her to shut the fuck up and do as she was told. I just wanted to get her out of my mind. She didn't belong there. No one did. I didn't falter.
Don't you dare! You can't!
Gripping my belt tighter, I slapped it again on the wooden floor in front of me. It echoed off the walls. She immediately shuddered, panting profusely, her tits rising and falling with each stride that brought me closer to her. My grasp white-knuckled the belt the whole time, not letting up on my assault. I leaned forward, not being able to control myself any longer. Her vulnerability was becoming too much for me to bear. I dropped the belt to the floor, closing the distance between us. Catching her off guard, my body engulfed her tiny frame. I kissed along her neck and then down her collarbone as I gritted out,
What, cariño? What can't I fucking do?
She didn't say anything, but she didn't have to. Her body was already betraying her mind. Her breathing was pitched. Her face flushed. Her lips parted. The desire in her eyes was screaming at me to take her in my arms, give her what she yearned for. She wanted me to kiss her. She wanted me to touch her. She wanted me on top of her. Instead, I lifted her legs around my waist and pushed into her, brushing my hard cock against her awaiting pussy so she could feel my need for her, running my hand up her thigh to her waist, gripping onto her fuckable hips, imaging how wet I was making her, how much I could make her come and scream out my goddamn name. My lips hovered over hers, on the verge of connecting as she panted profusely. I wanted to give in to her, but I let her go, causing her to hiss at the sudden loss of my lips against her heated skin. I couldn't do it. Everything about us was wrong. So instead I said,
That's what I fucking thought,
and walked away, leaving her with nothing but the insatiable need for my cock.
Chapter 29. Lexi. I couldn't believe I'd been with him for a half of a year now. One minute I was furious with him, the next I was terrified of him, and then I wanted him more than I had wanted anything in my entire life. I couldn't fathom how my emotions could go from one extreme to the next within seconds, especially when it came to him. The night in his office 3 months ago was a tipping point in our relationship. Some things changed, while others remained the same. He was still cold and distant, trying to ignore me as the days went on. Little did he know, I could see the subtle looks he gave me more often now than before, the indecision in his eyes. Then one night, he came home earlier than usual from whatever the hell he did during his days. When I walked into the dining room to eat my dinner, I stopped dead in my tracks. He was already in there, sitting at the head of the table, waiting for me. For a second, I contemplated turning back around and walking out on his ass, but I stayed, giving him the benefit of the doubt. I would be lying if I said I wasn't torn with how I felt about seeing him, especially under less extreme circumstances. His eyes were serene, full of stillness again, while a smile played on his lips, a smile I couldn't overlook. He wasn't dressed any different, still hiding behind the expensive suit, except this time his suit jacket was missing. His tie had been loosened, hanging low from his neck, the first few buttons of his collared shirt undone, displaying that silver chain necklace I saw the first night he brought me here, and exactly like that night, I was anxious to know what it was. He nodded for me to take a seat next to him, breaking my train of thought, but I didn't obey. I sat on the other end of the long, narrow table, defying him once again. A grin appeared on his face as I took my seat and grabbed my napkin, strategically placing it in my lap. I ignored him and his stupid, handsome face, pretending as if I didn't care he was there with me, when in reality, I did. He cleared his throat.
"How was your day, Mexi?"
he asked, breaking the uncomfortable silence between us. My head perked up. I just about fell out of my chair, shocked by his trivial question. He never took any interest in anything I did during the day. I was left alone. I shrugged as an answer, not ready to give him the time of day. I thought I saw him grin again, but didn't pay him any mind. He spent most of dinner asking me random questions, and I casually answered them with one word or a nod. Who was this man, and what did he do with Martinez? I was just happy to see he pulled the stick out of his pompous ass, for a little while at least. Once I was done with my meal, I threw my napkin on the table and abruptly stood, leaving without even so much as a goodbye. I went to my room, trying to brush off our encounter, forcing myself to believe it was a one-time thing. I didn't allow room for hope. I couldn't take any more disappointments. But the next day, there he was again, waiting for me. In the following months, it was the same exact routine, eating together almost every night. Sometimes he'd even stick around for dessert. Little by little, I started talking to him more, forgiving him for being who he was. The devil. He never answered any of my questions, brushing them off or changing the subject, always turning the tables on me. I had no choice but to answer him. They were never personal, just random conversation you would have with a friend. We weren't friends, though. To be honest, I didn't know what we were. One night, a few weeks later, he said he wanted to discuss something with me. He was going to allow me to go back to work, but I had to keep an arsenal of bodyguards with me at all times, since it still wasn't safe for me to be on my own yet, with one of his limos and drivers taking me to and from work. At that point in time, I would have agreed to anything just to get out of the house. I had no idea how he managed to keep my job open, considering how many ballerinas were trying out for the American Ballet daily. I'm sure it cost him a great deal of money, or some threats. Either way, I appreciated it nonetheless. I fell back into work like I had never been away. It was so liberating being back in the real world, and not being in the penthouse all day and night. I felt like a new person. I had Martinez to thank for that. On most days, I'd be home from work by 5 in the afternoon. I always tried to put in a few more hours of dance in my studio, and then head down to the dining room in time for dinner. With him. "I'll be right back," I announced, peeking my head into the dining room after work one evening. "I'm going to go change out of my dance clothes real quick." I went to turn and leave, but a strong, masculine voice stopped me.
"Don't,"
Martinez ordered. I started to notice when I came back to the penthouse after work. He liked seeing me in my ballet attire. He would eye me up and down with a wicked look in his eyes, the same exact one he was staring at me at that moment. "It will only take a few minutes. I'm a mess."
"I like you a mess,"
he simply replied. Apparently, I was a glutton for punishment as I stayed in my uniform, even though I was sweaty and wanted nothing more than to shower and change. Just to see the look on his face as I walked over to my usual seat, and while we talked over dinner, sometimes on the weekends, I would catch him leaning against my studio door, watching me with a greedy regard. It was then I realized why he had a couch put in the room. It wasn't for me, it was for him, even though he still hadn't used it, yet. Maybe afraid of what would happen if he actually sat down and watched me rehearse. Like with everything in my life, it didn't take long for me to get ballsy. Once dinner was over, I hated seeing our time come to an end. So, Over the past few weeks, I started knocking on his office door after I showered. At first he seemed shocked by my forwardness, but as time passed, I felt as if he eagerly waited and expected it, leaving the door ajar for me when he never did before. The fact I was relying more and more on Martinez wasn't something I ever overlooked. If anything, I welcomed it. I knocked on his office door, waiting for him to say I could come in. It wasn't uncomfortable to sit in there with him, given the circumstance of what happened months ago. It was as if it never occurred. His office was as immaculate as it was before we both flipped our shit. The piles of documents, paperwork, and folders he seemed to always have on his desk were now organized on his shelves and in cabinets. I laughed when I realized he had moved them.
"Come in,"
I heard him call out through the wooden door. I pushed the door open, peeking my head in, smiling when I saw him. He narrowed his eyes, nodding to the seat in front of his desk. I stepped in, shutting the door behind me, taking a seat in my usual spot, tucking my legs underneath me, looking over the new stack of documents, which wasn't there the night before. "So, Mr. Martinez, how much work do you have to do tonight?" I teased, much to his amusement, twirling a strand of my hair around my finger as I bit my bottom lip.
"Mr. Martinez, I could get used to you calling me that, cariño,"
he said, not looking up from his work. I rolled my eyes, grinning, making a mental note to call him that again. "What are you doing here all night anyway?" I asked, reaching for one of his folders. The warning glare he shot me was enough for me to retract my hand back into my lap.
"I work, Lexi. How do you think I pay for your comfortable lifestyle?"
It was my turn to narrow my eyes at him. He scoffed, throwing his pen down on the desk and leaning back in his chair, looking more relaxed. "But what do you do?" I added. "You know, besides all the illegal shit." He cocked his head to the side.
"There's more than that."
A smile played on his lips. "Smartass." I brought my index finger up to my pursed lips.
"I can see the wheels spinning in that pretty head of yours. Just say it,"
he ordered, reading my mind like he always did. The man had a fucking gift, reading people. "Are you aware that they call you El Diablo?" He grinned, resting his chin on his steeple hands. He just sat there and flashed me his devilish grin. His tantalizing eyes quickly changed into the predatory stare I'd grown to yearn for. "You like that, don't you? Being known as the devil?" I questioned, licking my suddenly dry lips. His silence was deafening, his intense glare, like an array of tiny razor blades on my skin, penetrating deep within my core, making me feel hot and nervous all at once. I couldn't fathom how he always had this effect on me with just a simple look. "Do you even know why they call you that?" I blurted, needing to make conversation and break the trance he had on me. Desperately wanting him to answer my questions, he leaned forward, resting his elbows on his desk, his thumb running back and forth over his lower lip, undressing me with his dilated, mysterious eyes. My heart sped up. Heat raced through my veins from his not-so-subtle regard. When he caught me staring at the movement of his mouth, he leaned back and grinned again, growling,
"If I fucked you, cariño, you'd know why too."
Martinez. Her eyes intensified, waiting for my next move. "My name isn't cariño." I peered deep into her eyes, and without thinking, I rasped, "When you own something, cariño, you can call it to whatever you want." She beamed with a gleam in her eyes, staring back at me with a starry gaze that was new and unfamiliar. "Only problem is, you don't own me, Mr. Martinez," she murmured so low I could barely hear her. I chuckled. "I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I own everything," once again leaning back into my chair, giving her the space she didn't want. "What does cariño mean?" she asked, changing the subject, needing to control the effect I had on her, and folding her legs from beneath her, squirming a little in her chair. "It's a term of endearment in Spanish, like saying honey or baby." "Oh," she purred. "Don't read too much into it. It's a term I use loosely." I lied. "Oh, I really like the way you say that." I paused. "Cariño." She blushed, bowing her head so I wouldn't notice. I was about to tell her to look me in the eyes when I was talking to her, but my phone rang, breaking our connection and ruining the moment. It was starting to take its toll on me, my willpower to stay away from her, fading more and more as the days went on. I actually looked forward to coming home to her, wanting to make her laugh, to see her smile, to talk to her, to watch her fucking dance. To have her in my bed every night and every morning. I was falling for her, and I hadn't even touched her yet. Fuck, I had already fallen for her. Which was a deadly combination for a man like me. Habla, I answered. Talk, on my phone.
Boss, we have some problem at the dance club.
Why is this my problem?
Trust me, boss. I wouldn't have called if I didn't think you would want to make it your problem.
I hung up, throwing my phone on the desk, taking a deep breath, pulling the hair back away from my face. The last thing I wanted to do was to go back out at this time of the night. I was fucking exhausted. Or at least that was what I told myself, knowing it had to do with the beautiful ballerina sitting in front of me. Is everything okay? She asked, out of concern.
I have to go.
I stood, grabbing my suit jacket from behind my chair. Can I come with you? She warily questioned, bringing my attention back to her, batting her fucking eyes at me.
Lexi, I
promise I'll listen to you,
she coaxed in the sweetest fucking voice, making it nearly impossible for me to say no to her.
Your nose is actually growing right now. You are aware of that, right?
She bowed her head, disappointed.
You have 5 minutes to meet me at the front door.
She immediately peered back up at me, with wide eyes. A smile spread across her face.
If you're not there, I'm leaving.
She enthusiastically nodded, bolting off the seat, hauling ass out of the room, stumbling over her own 2 feet, catching herself at the last second. I laughed, not letting it deter her. I shook my head, berating myself.
What the fuck are you doing, Alejandro?
I murmured, rubbing the back of my neck, trying to ease the sudden splitting headache I felt looming. I holstered my guns, put extra magazines in my suit jacket, grabbing my phone on my way out. Lexi was already waiting by the door when I walked up. Her long, dark hair flowed loosely around her gorgeous face. She was wearing a pair of low-cut, tight fucking jeans that accentuated her luscious ass, and a belly shirt, which left very little to the imagination. A studded belly button ring hung temptingly on display. A pair of fuck-me heels finished off her barely-there getup. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I heard your man say they needed you at your dance club. I've never been to a club, so I didn't know what to wear. I hope this... I wiped off the red lipstick from her pouty goddamn lips.
Your nose is growing again, cariño. Not trying to eavesdrop my ass.
She threw her head back, laughing, and I resisted the urge to laugh with her. Instead, I grabbed her hand and led her out the door.
You don't leave my sight unless I tell you to. Do you understand me?
She nodded, following me out to the limo with 4 bodyguards I had escorting us. Usually I would only take one, but since Lexi was with me, I chose to be overly cautious. I spent most of the ride on the phone while Lexi sat beside me, fidgeting with her fingers, her leg bouncing up and down, anticipating what the night would bring. At one point, I subconsciously reached over, placing my hand on her thigh to calm her. She tensed from the unexpected gesture, but I squeezed her thigh in reassurance. She relaxed, easing into my touch. I spent the rest of our ride trying like hell not to move my hand further up her thigh. When we arrived at the club, I had the bodyguards do a sweep before letting Lexi out. The dance club was packed to the brim like it was every Friday night. Everyone dressed in the nines, my drugs and booze flowing like fucking water. It happened to be Latin night. The salsa rhythm pounded through the speakers. We walked in through the back entrance, avoiding the crowds I fucking hated. Drunken strangers, grinding up against you as you tried to make your way inside, was not my kind of night. I'd already done my share of partying. I was too old for this fucking shit. I left Lexi with the bodyguards at my VIP table, ordering them not to let anyone near her. I needed to make nice with some of the regular high rollers, who all spent a fuckload of money on everything I had to offer. When I was done, I turned to find Lexi dancing, provocatively swaying her hips to the music without missing a beat, not paying any mind to the sets of male eyes that were solely focused on her. I saw it happen before it actually went down. One of the men, I fucking the shit out of her, slid past the guards. The motherfucker caged Lexi in with his arms, pinning her against the wall. The fear in her eyes was enough for me to push through the fucking crowd, yelling at my men to turn the fuck around. I got to her, just as they were about to intervene. Roughly grabbing the random motherfucker by the back of his collared shirt, dragging him away from her, throwing him up against the adjacent wall, it was my turn to cage him in.
You don't touch what fucking belongs to me,
I growled, knocking the fucker to his knees, stepping back and nodding to my men to get this piece of shit out of my club. They would have to deal with my wrath later for not doing their fucking jobs. I turned my attention back to Lexi, who was shaking in the corner from the motherfucker who scared her. As soon as she felt my touch against her cheek, my fingers caressing the side of her face, she relaxed.
You okay?
I asked, pulling her into my body. She nodded, unable to form words yet. I hated seeing her weak. It physically pained me to watch her shut down. I acted on pure impulse, without thinking twice about it. I grabbed her hands, placing them around the back of my neck, bringing her as close to my body as possible. Wrapping my arms around the small of her back, I savored the feel of her exposed skin, clinging to my back. I slowly spun us around in slow circles, taking my time until she smiled, getting comfortable and content again. I rested my forehead on hers, staring deep into her bright green eyes as I swayed around with her, moving us effortlessly around our private space, blocking out the people near us. The moves, the music, all bringing back painful memories from my past. Seeing flashes of my mother and Sophia dancing and laughing in our living room. I hadn't danced since then. Another lifetime, another world, another man. I shook off the memories as fast as they came, pushing Lexi away from my body, turning her in a circle, ending with a dip. She laughed, and I swear it was the most contagious sound. I looked down at her, both of us losing ourselves to the undeniable connection we always shared. She stood up on the tips of her toes to whisper in my ear,
"Thank you, Alejandro, for everything."
The feel of her in my arms, the smell of her against me, the look in her eyes. I didn't fight it any longer. I smiled, laughing with her, enjoying the fact that for the first time in a long time, I was happy with her. The upbeat rhythm transitioned into a slower Latin melody. Lexi looked up at me through her lashes with her lust-filled eyes, begging for me to lean down and kiss her pouty lips. My smile faded. Reality kicked back in. What the fuck was I allowing to happen? I completely let my guard down. Fuck. I breathed out, stepping back and away from her. She stepped toward me, placing her hands on my chest.
What just happened? Why did you push me away?
Because you got me to smile and laugh with you in a span of 5 minutes. Because I've changed. Because you've changed me. I'll break it down for you, little girl. You make me lose sight of who I am. I'll admit that. I find myself thinking of you in moments that I shouldn't. I can't have that. And
I gestured in between us.
We can't happen.
I snapped, turning back into the cold, callous man I needed to be. She grimaced, her eyes instantly shutting. The hurt was plain as day on her face. She didn't try to hide it. Her hand slid down my chest to her sides, defeated. It took everything inside me not to place them back on me again.
Watch her. See what happens to you if you don't this time.
I ordered my men, then turned and left, not looking back. I couldn't handle seeing the disappointment on her face. I sifted through the crowd, making my way toward my office, to find out what the fuck was so important that I needed to be here. I honestly didn't think the night could get any fucking worse.
Fucking A.
I spewed as soon as I saw a drugged-out Austin Taylor sitting in the seat in my office. Briggs had left him a few months ago for reasons I didn't want to get into. She just showed up on my goddamn door late one night saying she needed a place to crash for a few days. Lexi was actually the one who answered the door, and I almost bit her fucking head off for being so careless. I'm sure she was dying to get to know Briggs, but I made sure that didn't happen. I spent the next fucking hour dealing with Austin when all I wanted to do was be with Lexi. I actually wanted to fucking apologize and tell her I didn't mean it. Tell her whatever I needed to make things right again. I couldn't get out of there soon enough. Finally, after what seemed like forever, I was able to go back and find her, leaving Austin in my office to sleep off his drug-induced haze, wanting to know where the fuck Briggs was. I couldn't help but feel responsible for him, thinking how much I had to do with his addiction. I shook that off like I did everything else that night.
Boss, we didn't.
I shoved him out of the way as I took in a drunk-ass fucking Lexi.
Who the fuck gave it to her?
I seethed, trying to remain calm, but my limits were being pushed to the max.
Well, you said to make sure she was taken care of,
he explained, gesturing to her dancing on the fucking table.
I meant for you to make sure she was protected, not let her become two sheets in the wind. Now get the fuck out of my face,
I yelled, shaking my head, ready to put some goddamn bullets in these worthless sons of bitches' heads. I was over to her in two strides, reaching for her hands, pulling her down and over my shoulder, carrying her off the table.
Hey, I was dancing. I don't even like yous anymore,
she slurred, reeking of whiskey, vodka, and God knows what the fuck else, protesting by slapping my back and kicking her legs. I sat us down on the leather couch, placing her swaying body next to me, her head spinning with a glazed-over look in her eyes. She could barely hold her head up. Just one more thing to add to the clusterfuck of a night I was having.
Boss, she's fine. She's just a little drunk, Rick assured, trying to save his sorry ass.
As if on cue, Lexi leaned over toward me and threw up in my lap. I held her hair back, scooting her face toward the floor as she continued to heave liquid until she couldn't anymore. I shot him a menacing glare.
Obviously, she's fucking not.
I'm so sorry,
Lexi drunkenly giggled.
I feel better as though.
I leaned her back up against the couch, wiping her mouth with a napkin, ripping the glass of water from one of my men's hands.
Lexi, drink this.
I placed the glass near her lips.
No more drinkies.
She shook her head from the glass, pushing it away, causing me to drop it. It shattered upon impact with the floor near our feet.
Fuck me,
I murmured, frustrated. She peered up at me through her lashes, grinning.
You don't let me.
I shook my head, trying hard as fuck not to laugh. He'd been drunk as shit. She was still fucking adorable. I cleaned my slacks up as best as I could before standing and picking her up into my arms, cradling her like a baby. She leaned in, nestling into my chest, sighing in contentment as her body went lax, almost immediately passing out. She stayed just like that the entire ride back to my penthouse, snuggled in my arms, softly snoring. I took her straight into her room and stripped the clothes that smelt like puke off her body. She inhaled my scent and half moaned.
Alejandro.
As I gently laid her on the bed, she spread out like a cat, stretching then curling up into a ball. I quickly walked to my bedroom and changed out of my soiled pants, went into the bathroom, and grabbed 3 ibuprofen from my medicine cabinet, making my way back into her room, padding down the hallway, needing to get back to her. She hadn't moved. I reached for her and sat her up.
Cariño, you have to take these.
She half opened her beautiful eyes and smiled at me.
I really love it when you call me that. It sounds so sexy. It makes me all hot and wet. You're the only man that's ever been able to do that.
Her head bobbed, struggling to remain upright.
Lexi.
I know. You're going to be alls. You. But you're not a bad man. I know yous.
She nodded.
More than you know you. One day you're going to love me because I already think of falling with you, in use, in love.
Her head stopped moving, and she looked me dead in the eyes for a split second. I swallowed hard. She sluggishly smiled.
Night, night, Mr. Martinez.
She laid back, shutting her eyes, and was out within seconds. I stayed with her for a few minutes, brushing her hair away from her face, caressing her cheek, taking in all her dainty features. She was so breathtakingly beautiful. I was fucked. I sat back in the armchair and rubbed my temples in an effort to calm my migraine, to no avail. I watched her sleep like I had every night for the past 6 months, taking in each and every word she drunkenly just shared with me, knowing in the back of my mind, she was right.
Chapter 30. Lexi. Oh, God. I groaned in pain, immediately grabbing the pillow, wrapping it around my pounding head, trying to remember what the hell happened last night.
Splitting headache. You really shouldn't be so careless with alcohol.
Martinez chimed in, sitting in his usual spot in the armchair near my bed. I moaned as I rolled over to face him, blinking away the hangover haze. Maybe you shouldn't have been an asshole to your guest, driving me to drink in the first place.
Oh, so it's my fault you decided to drink double your weight in booze.
He stood, walking over to the window. I didn't think I was drinking that much at the time. I don't usually drink, and now I know why, I retorted, squeezing my eyes shut, praying to God to take it easy on me.
You need to get dressed,
he simply stated, roughly pulling the curtains back. The bright sunlight beamed through the window, causing me to flinch in pain. What the hell, Martinez? A little warning, please? I roared, flipping over so I was face down on the bed. He chuckled.
Close your eyes.
Asshole, I whispered under my breath. I'd ask you to leave the room, but you've already seen me naked, I replied, feeling the sheets on my unclothed skin.
And both times you were unconscious. Though, I will give you some credit. You didn't throw up on me the first time. Lucky me. Don't worry, sweetheart. I looked, but I didn't touch.
I sank into the mattress, mortified, ignoring his statement about looking. I threw up on you? Shaking my head, the embarrassment settling in, making me flush all over.
And yourself,
he added for good measure. I couldn't even look at him. All I wanted was to disappear, fade into the comforter, and pretend like I didn't make an absolute ass of myself in front of him. In front of his men and thousands of clubgoers. I fucked up. All I wanted to do was forget about how he snapped last night. One minute he's throwing a man off of me, then we're dancing and laughing, and the next he's pushing me away again, acting like a complete fucking dick. I shouldn't have been surprised, but it had been months since he treated me that way. A little part of me thought I had finally broken through his icy demeanor, only realizing it was just another illusion in my delusional head. I had no intention to get wasted and make a fool out of myself, which was exactly what I accomplished. I only downed like 3, maybe 4, or was it 5? I lost count. They went down like water, one right after the other. I didn't realize how strong the shots would be. I couldn't remember anything after the last one went down. The rest of the night I spent blacked out. I hope I didn't say anything stupid. I opened my mouth to say something, quickly shutting it, not knowing what to say. I heard him shuffling across the room. I peeked open one eye, thinking he had left so I could pass back out, forget this ever happened. I wasn't so lucky.
Here,
he coaxed from above me. Go away, Martinez. Let me bask in my humiliation for a little while longer. I slowly flipped back over, peeling my eyes open one at a time, barely able to make out his form, the light was so bright behind him. Rapidly blinking, cursing myself once again for being so careless, as he called it. He was holding a glass of ice water and some buttered toast. I sluggishly sat up, pulling the sheet with me as I leaned my bare back against the cold headboard, shuddering. Grabbing the water, I gulped it down, welcoming the cool sensation it left in its wake. Oh my God, life-changing, I practically moaned, taking a bite of my toast.
You need to get dressed,
he repeated with an agitated tone, causing me to peer up at him. His eyes bared something I couldn't quite place, too shocked he was showing me any emotion when he had been so reserved all this time, sharing what he wanted, never what he didn't. Are we going somewhere? I asked, needing to know.
Yes,
he simply stated. Our eyes never wavered from one another, completely captivated in each other's stares. Is everything all right?
Nothing is ever all right.
Are we?
I mean the business of making things wrong. I'm not your Prince Charming, and once you realize that, it would make things a lot easier.
On you?
No, you. I know who I am. It's you that doesn't.
He paused to let his words sink in.
Now get dressed. I'll be in my office.
He turned and left. I stayed there for I don't know how long, rationalizing what he had just said, trying to figure out what happened last night, racking my brain for memories if I had said something to him I shouldn't have. Once I took a shower and brushed my teeth, I felt so much better, almost like a whole new person. I dressed casually in a maxi skirt and tank top with sandals, leaving my hair down with just some mascara, blush, and lip gloss, foregoing my usual makeup. I knew I took longer than he probably expected, but he didn't say anything when I walked into his office ready to go. We rode in the back of the limo in an awkward silence, listening to the rain pelt off the roof, craving for him to put his hand on my thigh like he had the night before, yearning for him to comfort me with a simple touch of his hand. He didn't. He was staring out the dark, tinted window, leaning against the armrest on the door, rubbing his fingers across his lips, lost in his own thoughts, in his own demons, in his own world like I had never witnessed before. The car ride could have lasted a minute, an hour, or a few hours. Time just seemed to stand still. It felt as though every second that passed between us was another moment in time for him, another place he revisited often, or even worse, he never left. He was there, but he wasn't. Without thinking, I reached over and placed my hand on top of his, lacing our fingers, giving him a reassuring hold, wanting to provide him with some sort of comfort if I could. His eyes quickly darted down at my kind gesture, as if he was waiting for something I didn't quite understand. His hand remained lax, and he didn't return my sentiment. After a few seconds, he looked back out the window, not giving my affection any more consideration, too consumed by his own plaguing thoughts. We drove through a set of huge cast-iron gates, up a long, narrow road surrounded by trees, for what I assumed would be for privacy. My heart sped up a little more, the closer we got to our final destination, not knowing where the hell he was taking me. Tree after tree whipped by the tinted windows, casting shadows in our path, blurring into the background, fading into the distance. The trees suddenly cleared, and we were faced with fields of what looked to be daisies. A massive house appeared out of nowhere with acres of breathtaking greenery surrounding the property. It was then that I realized we were at a cemetery.
Martinez. As soon as the driver hit the brakes, I opened the door and exited the car. I needed to get out before she had the chance to speak. I knew she had tons of questions that had been attacking her mind since I told her to get dressed that morning. Last night proved one thing, and one thing only. I was letting my guard down, allowing weakness to seep in through the cracks. I was letting her in. I couldn't fucking help myself. She was turning me into a goddamn pussy. I was always the man who exuded nothing but control and power. I thrived on it. It was the only reason I was still walking, still breathing, still fucking alive. I couldn't trust myself with her. I had proven that too many times over the years. She was falling in love with the devil. Now I needed her to run away from my hell. Stay, I ordered the bodyguards, stepping out of the limo, pulling Lexi out with me, our hands still entwined from her gesture during the ride. The driver handed me the oversized black umbrella, giving me the excuse to let go of her hand. Ignoring the hurt look that passed over her face, she peered up at me, searching my eyes for the answer she desperately wanted, opening her mouth to confront me again, but quickly closing it when she caught a glimpse of my ominous glare. I didn't want to provide her with any ease or reassurance. That's not what this was about. It was the exact opposite, and she needed to comprehend what the reality of living in my life would bring. Come on, I nodded, holding the umbrella over the both of us, leading the way for her to finally meet the man behind the expensive fucking suit. The closer we got to my reality, the more I realized I was doing the right thing, until there were no more steps to take, no more thoughts to doubt, no more emotions to pull, until there was nothing but the truth staring back at us. Handing Lexi the umbrella, I stepped out into the pouring rain, not caring that every inch of my body was being covered with the downpour which fell from the sky, looking up as heaven's tears streamed down my face and fell to my feet. I vaguely watched the lightning before me, subconsciously counting the seconds until thunder would strike. The storm was getting closer. I wanted it to cleanse me, save me from my impulses, my decisions, my choices. The pain, the misery, the hurt were as real as the woman buried in front of us. As much as I wanted it to go away, it never would. It was a daily reminder of what I lost, of who I am. I watched Lexi from the corner of my eyes, holding the umbrella in one hand. The other rose to her mouth as she read the two gravestones, taking in the fresh daisies I had delivered every morning, catching her attention. Alejandro, is this... I didn't falter, putting an end to the fantasy in her head.
I spoke with conviction. This is what happens to the women who love me.
Our eyes locked.
Welcome to my hell.
A loud crash of thunder struck above us. She shuddered, sucking in a breath, her eyes widening, wrapping her arms around her tiny frame for warmth and comfort, taking in my words.
This is my life, Lexi. People die around me daily, from my bare hands and from others. I've killed people just to prove a point, slaughtered men without thinking twice about it. I am a ruthless motherfucker who prefers torture as a form of vengeance. My hands are still covered in my mother's blood, and my sister's.
Did you?
Yes. I may not have pulled the trigger, but that didn't save them from dying either.
I stepped away, turning my back on her. I needed some space. I had never admitted those words to anyone.
I know what you do is dangerous. I know that there's a reason why you're like this. Oh my God, this explains so much, but I know you. I see through you. Under the expensive suits there is a man with a huge heart. I'm living proof of that. You're not evil. You just think you are.
She stepped forward, dropping the umbrella to the ground. I could hear her come up behind me, reaching her arms out.
It's okay, Alejandro. I'm so sorry. I know what it's like to lose a parent.
I turned to face her, the rain pouring all over us now.
I know what it feels like to be alone, to feel like you have no one on your side, but you have me. I'm here for you, no matter what.
She wept, her voice giving out on her, reaching for me. I couldn't take this much longer. I didn't want her sympathy, her concern, or her fucking love.
Don't touch me, Lexi. You need to stay away from me.
I cautioned, moving her hands away from my body.
Alejandro, please. Please. Just let me.
She pleaded in a voice of pure desperation and sorrow.
Don't fucking touch me. I'm warning you. What is it going to take for you to realize I'm no good for you?
I shouted, raking my hands through my wet hair. She didn't fucking listen, continuing her assault, trying to touch my face, my arms, and my chest. Her hands burned as if she was touching me with holy water, sinking further into hell. Right along with me. It seared everywhere she placed them, everywhere she touched me, leaving behind deeper scars than the ones I already carried.
Why won't you just let me in? I can help. We can help each other. Why do you insist on fighting this?
She implored, gesturing between us. I understand you don't want me to end up like the other women who have loved you, but that is not your choice to make. It's mine, she stubbornly declared, not letting up with her hands on me.
You have no fucking clue what you're signing up for.
I roughly jabbed my finger toward their graves.
My life isn't made for you. It's made for no one but me. It's the price I pay for taking lives that don't belong to me.
I gritted through a clenched jaw, hoping she would back the fuck away from me.
I'm so sorry, Alejandro, but I'm not going anywhere,
she mourned, leaning in to engulf me in her arms. I roughly grabbed her wrists tighter than I intended to, holding her in place. I seethed close to her face.
Then I might as well start digging your grave right next to my mother and sister. You can finally fucking hate me when I lay you to rest.
I let go with a shove, leaving her standing there, trying like hell to figure out what it was going to take to get rid of this girl. Before I killed her, too.
Chapter 31. Lexi. I sat up, startled, looking around my dark room, searching for the man that usually lurked in the shadows, sadly, only getting glimpses of the empty armchair every time lightning struck, illuminating the whole room. Light and darkness took turns, over and over again, but no Martinez. The storm hadn't let up all day. The rain was steady, and the thunder was loud. Memories of my childhood came flooding back, snuggling up to my mom when the storms were bad. I wished I had that comfort now. I couldn't sleep. I'd been tossing and turning for the last few hours, unable to forget about what happened that morning, closing my eyes, only to see two gravestones behind my lids. I never expected what he shared with me, not for one second. As much as I was relieved he was finally giving me a piece of his puzzle, I was also devastated he was using it to push me away, as if he thought he wasn't worthy of having anyone care for him or wanting to stick with him through the good and the bad. It hurt my heart just thinking about him, reminding me that we had more in common than I could have ever imagined. When I got back to the limo, He wasn't there waiting for me. It was only the bodyguard standing, watching my every move. All four men were still there. He left by himself. He shouldn't have left on his own, unprotected, in a world where he was worth more dead than alive. The whole drive home, I couldn't shake the feeling that something bad would happen. Anxiety had taken over, and the minutes felt like hours. He never came back to the penthouse that night. We didn't have dinner together. I hadn't seen him since he left me standing in the cemetery with the reality of his harsh truths. I spent the whole day curled up on the couch closest to the front door, afraid I would miss him if he unexpectedly showed up, waiting for him to come home. To me. It was around midnight by the time I picked myself up and went to bed, hoping that maybe, just maybe, he would end up in my room. He didn't. I rolled over, looking at the clock on my nightstand. It read 3:30 a.m. I groaned, crossing my arms over my face. There was no way I was going to get any sleep. Not until I knew he was home. I sprawled out, stretching, not realizing I had been curled up in a ball most of the night, sheltering myself from the storm. The sheets were sticking to my anxious, overheated skin, making me burn up, even though I was just wearing a tank top and panties. Taking a deep, exaggerated breath, I untangled my body from the confining linens. I swung my legs over the edge of the bed and placed my feet on the cold hardwood floor, stifling a yawn. Before I knew it, I was at my door, turning the handle. I stepped out of my room, peering down the black hallway toward his room. The silence was deafening all around me. Eerie flashes of thunder had my heart beating a mile a minute. My feet padded against the marble floor, a force pulling me to him by a chain. A chain that only he ever held. I was a few steps away from his bedroom when I noticed his door was ajar. He never left it open. I'd never even seen what was lying beyond the door. It was the only room in his penthouse I'd never been in. My stomach fluttered, and my heart pounded with each step that brought me closer to his room, silently praying he would be in there. Safe. I slowly, quietly pushed the heavy wood open, gingerly stepping inside, being careful not to make any noises in case he was in there. The room was dead silent, not even a sound of a clock to break the monotony. I knew one thing for sure. The man never slept. The events of the day must have taken a toll on him if he was sound asleep, his body physically giving up on him when his mind was probably still reeling in his slumber. For some selfish reason, the thought provided me with some comfort, that maybe he had as shitty of a day as I did, worried about me as much as I was worried about him. I felt his presence before I actually saw him, his scent immediately assaulting my senses as soon as I was in the room. I stopped dead.